Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is strange, isn't it? It's the first time I've preached since, I think, about February, I think, was the last time that I preached, so it's a little bit nerve-wracking. And then when you look out on your congregation and you don't recognise half of you because you're wearing masks, so it's a little bit off-putting. But welcome. Any visitors that we have with us?
And welcome to anybody who's
watching at home as well. On YouTube, or anybody that watches us later in the week, give you a warm welcome to our worship this morning. There's going to be a few different things hopefully happening this morning. Unfortunately, Gareth is our organist, appointed to play today for us. He's not been feeling too well, and so Gareth will not be with us, so we'll remember Gareth in our prayers later on, or you can remember Gareth in your own private prayers as well. But he's not been too good. Lynn and I went up to Blair Athol just over a week ago. We got back from Blair Athol. We'd spent a week up there, and I was looking at the notice board for the Episcopal Church of Scotland, and they were announcing their service, and they were going to have hummed hymns. Hummed hymns. It sounded a bit, you know, it feels as though you've got your blocked nose when you say that. Hummed hymns. And all sorts of things happening. Well, we're going to have something similar here this morning as well, so you're welcome to hum along to the music, but Lynn and I will be leading the singing as well, just with the guitar. I want to read from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Then shall I come and appear. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Well, they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And you know, I think those verses are a word for us today. That this is a time that is, we're in at the moment, but we'll pass. And once more we'll praise our God with hymns and shouts of joy. But that's for the future. So God is here. As we, his people, meet to offer praise and prayer. A Dutch writer, Huub Oosterhuis, I hope I've said that right. He wrote these words, what is this place where we are meeting? Only a house, the earth, its floor. Walls and a roof, sheltering people. Windows for light and an open door. Yet it becomes a body that lives when we are gathered here and know our God is near. So we're going to have our first hummed hymn. And I'm going to use Psalm 42. I'm going to take my jacket off for this, if I may. We're going to use Psalm 42 because I thought it fitted well with that theme. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. So are we coming this morning to worship God with that wonderful desire that the psalmist writes about? I'm going to switch this on because we didn't have any fallback. That's better, I'll be able to hear myself. Wonderful desire that the psalmist has to worship God. I think it's a look picture, isn't it, of the deer panting for the water in the desert. I've been privileged to have been in Israel and been out in the deserts and seen just what it's like, and I've seen not the deer, but I've seen goats and other animals being herded in the desert, and it just amazes me that people can actually live there. You just wonder how they get this sustenance, but God provides. We're going to have a time of prayer now, and it's a responsive prayer. And if you could you respond with the words, "Meet with us, we pray. Meet with us, we pray." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Living God, we come here to worship you, to meet here with Christ, not simply because we feel we should do, nor because it's expected of us, but because we want to praise you. Meet with us, we pray. We have come not merely to share fellowship with one another, nor just to meet friends, but to encounter you. Meet with us now, we pray. Help us to bring you our heartfelt worship, especially in these difficult circumstances. Help us to concentrate our minds on you and to set aside our concerns and our problems, to seek your will for us, the church. Meet with us now, we pray. Help us to draw close to you, rejoicing in your presence, receiving your love, reviving our faith. Meet with us now, we pray. Help us to confess everything that comes between us, our foolish deeds, times we have put self before your call and our service, our thoughtless actions, unworthy thoughts, those things that put a barrier between us and you. Forgive us those times we've not been the people you have called us to be and lived the life that you have called us to live. Meet with us now, we pray. Living God, we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. Assure us as we worship of the forgiveness, the guidance, the love, and the life you offer through him. Meet with us now, we pray. So may we worship you, not merely through words, but in our lives. Not merely now, but always. Not simply here, but everywhere. To the glory of your name, in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And we're going to follow that with the Lord's Prayer. And I hope you can see the words on the screen. I would like you to pray the words that are in yellow. I'm going to pray the words that are typed up there in white. And it's just an expanded form of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. Lynn's going to bring us a reading from the first Peter's for Peter's first letter, chapter 5. Lynn.
Opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at all proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
We're going to sing again. Take my jacket off again. Oh. Yes. Put your guitar in. So that. That's better. That's why I bring Lynn. She's good at reminding all sorts of things. Oh, it was Andrew, apparently. Thank you, Andrew. That's good. We're going to sing a song which is new to this church. I thought it was new. I was on the internet and I was looking at a website, the Grace Sovereign Church in America, when our daughter Caroline lived in America. And her husband Devinder, they went along to Grace Sovereign Church, and we there. And I also think they have some really good music. And I heard this song, and Lynn and I really like it. And I thought, right, I'm going to get the music for that. So on the website, their music website, the music was free, which was good. But I also bought the backing track, so we've got a little bit of a band to play with us tonight. But it's they're here virtually; they're not here. So we're going to sing this song called "Jesus, Your Mercy."
This psalm is entitled "God Is My Strength and Portion Forever." A psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in richness. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly you set them on slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Amen.
Thank you, Lynn. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your ever present with us. And Lord, as we come to look at your word and to think about our present situation, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me and that you would open our hearts to receive your word, whether it's something I say, Lord, or something that you speak into our hearts. Help us to hear that word, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I said before that that song we just sang before, I thought it was a new song, and then I was sort of searching for it again on the internet because I'd lost the site where I'd found it, and I found it was sung at Keswick Convention last year. So it's not so new. Keswick have already done it. Good for Keswick. I've entitled this talk this morning, A Place for Lament. And when I was thinking about this, I thought about my favourite TV programme. I've not got many favourite TV programmes because there's so much going on television at the moment. But one of my favourite ones is a programme called The Repair Shop. I don't know how many others, I see one or two people nodding. If you don't know about The Repair Shop, this is it's a fictional workshop. It's in a museum somewhere in the south of the country, an area I don't really know very well. That's where they film it. But this barn is full of people who are absolutely brilliant at repairing things. And people bring along precious objects and ask for them to be repaired, and these experts do an absolutely amazing job. But it's not just that; it's the backstory to the objects themselves as well, because not all these objects are valuable in themselves, but they hold tremendous memories and tremendous meaning for the people who have them. And so they bring paintings in, and we see them restored. We see porcelain glued back together again that's been smashed, and honestly you cannot see the join. When I do it, the glue runs down the side. When they do it, it's just absolutely perfect, and we see these things sort of taking shape, and in the end we see things made of iron and steel or wood and paper, clockwork motors running smoothly, clocks going as they should do, all articles fit to pass on to the next generation. And as I thought about this, you know, I thought, we have a God who loves to restore and he loves to renew. He loves to restore lives and to renew lives. And there's one thing I'm concerned about in today's contemporary church, and that is the lack of space and time given over to lament. Many of our modern worship songs tend to be very introspective. A lot of them are about me and what I'm going to do for God. I wonder, when you came to church this morning, when you woke up, how did you feel? Did you feel full of the joys of summer? Way, great, another day, bounce out of bed, and you know. Well, if you did, I'm glad I don't live with you, because I'm not that sort of person. I'm not a morning person. I'm more of an evening person. But you know, not everyone comes to church full of the joys of spring. Not everyone comes to church feeling like that. And so I've been thinking about how the church needs to deal with people who are having a difficult time dealing with coronavirus. And we're all having a difficult time. Restrictions on free movement and life in general. And what was normal is now a thing of the past. This is the new normal at the moment. Loved ones who are no longer with us. People losing their jobs. The economy has headed into another crash. And then also, as we look around, we see people behaving selfishly at times, refusing to keep to the regulations and possibly putting other people in danger. And we're told that there's going to quite probably be another wave of this virus passing through our country. And when I thought about this, I thought, well, maybe at the moment, maybe happy, triumphant praise is not always appropriate. Yes, we praise God, but it's maybe not always appropriate for some people, because we've all lost something during this lockdown. I mentioned Keswick Convention, and Keswick Convention this year, the physical convention was cancelled, but thankfully they did a virtual convention online. And Lynn and I watched that. We watched the morning meetings, the Bible reading, and then the seminar, and then the evening we watched the praise and the worship in the evening as well. And we thoroughly enjoyed it. It was amazing. It was really good. And one of the highlights for me was Wednesday morning, when there was a seminar given by Dr. Rico Villanueva. I'd not heard of him before, but I would love to hear from him again. He's a theologian, he's a Bible teacher, he's a preacher, he's all sorts of things in the Christian church in the Philippines. And Dr. Rico spoke of he said the favorite saying of a lot of pastors and preachers and church leaders when they start the service is, God is good. And the congregation respond all the time. And he said, we had some terrible floods in the Philippines. And he said, and people lost their lives, some people lost their lives, and many people lost their possessions, businesses were washed away. He said, and I went to church the following Sunday, and the pastor stood up, and the first words he said was, God is good. And the people shouted back all the time. He says, and they didn't mention the flood throughout the whole of the service. There was another pastor on a little bit of a film that Dr. Rico showed, and he said, and this pastor on this film said, laughter in the midst of calamity, only in the Philippines. And his seminar was on lament, and he spoke from the psalm that Lynn read to us just a few moments ago, Psalm 73. He also dipped a little bit into the next psalm, in Psalm 74, because it is connected. And it's a psalm written by a man called Asaph. We don't know very much about Asaph. But what we do know when we read his psalm, he is obviously struggling. He's struggling with life, he's struggling with his situation. But he starts the psalm off, God is good. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But then very quickly he says, but I've had a hard time in saying that. I'm having a struggle. I've been struggling for a while. Asaph says, I was losing confidence in the goodness of God. I was beginning to doubt. You know, it's not easy to say God is good when you see what's happening around us. When you see government officials making regulations and then breaking them. When we're told to socially distance and then we see crowds on beaches. We see crowds in town centres. We see rubbish dumped in the Lake District. When we see that pubs are able to admit people not wearing face masks, and they can sit, and they can drink, and they can laugh and shout and all the rest of it, and yet we in church have got to sit with masks on and cannot sing songs. That's nothing against the pubs. This is the regulation. And sometimes we find that difficult. And Asaph in Psalm 73, we get to verse 13, he says, you know, it's all in vain. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. Isn't this a psalm for today? He's having a hard time. And I think many people today are having a hard time too. You can probably think of some people that you know, neighbours or friends, people you connected with. But what was it that was causing Asaph a hard time? Well, he tells us in verse 3, he says, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Then in verse 5, he goes on to say, they are not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind. And then he goes on to say in verse 11 that people are starting to follow them. They're following these people who are going against the rules, going against the accepted way of life, going against what God has led them to do. And in verse 11 he says, and they say, how can God know? They begin to mock God. What's God got to do with it? What does he know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? And this is what's upsetting Asaph. This is what he's struggling with. But then we read as he goes on in the psalm that he begins to see the light. And up to verse 15, he's speaking of God in the third person, but that starts to change at verse 15, because he starts to speak of God in the first person after that point. In verse 15 he says, if I had said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. I've written a note actually, and I think this was probably from Dr. Rico, and he said, what he's actually saying there is, I could have been like the others. I could have been like the others in this world, but I didn't. I took it to God. Because when we get to verse 16 and 17, it says, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. He said, my head hurts when I try to think about this. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Where did he go? Did he go in the temple? Possibly. But one thing we know for certain He came into the presence of God. He sought the presence of God, somewhere where he could be quiet, somewhere where he could meet with the living God, somewhere where he could pour out his heart, where he could be honest. And now Asaph begins to write in the first person. And he gets his feelings off his chest. He says what he needs to say in his heart. And then we get to verse 28, the final verse in the psalm. And he tells us about what is good about God. He says, "But for me, it's good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." It's good to be near God. It's good to have someone you can pour your heart out to shout at if necessary. Oh, how many of us have shouted at God? Oh, we don't do that. We're British. We don't get emotional like that. Just go back to the cross and see Jesus hanging on the cross, and what did he shout? My God, why have you forsaken me? I believe Jesus shouted that from the cross. I don't think he croaked it. I don't think he whispered it. I think he cried out to God in his agony. And Jesus said, "Follow me." So if Jesus wants us, or gives us that permission, if we want to, we can be honest with God. You might think, "Oh gosh, this is a bit dreary, this is a bit upsetting, this is a bit dark. Lamentation, I'm not sure I like laments." Well, actually, lament is an expression of faith. What is the point of shouting out to God? What is the point of going to God, being in the presence of God, telling him, if you don't believe in him? We can only lament. We can only ask God the questions, "Why, God? What are you doing?" if we actually believe he's there listening. Lament is a sign of intimacy. It's when we draw closer to God and believe that he listens. And the closer we are with God, the more honest we are more likely to be. Lament is a sign of hope. It's somewhere where we can go and be honest and be open. I started off by saying that God is a God who likes to fix things, to renew things. You know, I love to try and fix things myself. I pride myself on a number of machines and household items that I managed to keep going. You know, I'm sort of an amateur electrician. Oh, dangerous people. But I usually manage it. I'm usually able to fix things. And I remember when I was a little boy, I went on holiday to Blackpool. We went fairly regularly to Blackpool on a holiday. And one of the things my mum loved to do was to get on the tram one day in the week, towards the end of the holiday, and go down to Fleetwood, or up to Fleetwood. And I used to go to the market there, and we used to all go with her. And we had some money to spend, because we'd saved some money during the year for our holidays, and we would buy a little toy, a little gift for ourselves. And I remember one year I bought this gun. Now, I'm not very politically correct nowadays, but I bought this little toy gun. And this toy gun was a special toy gun because, you know how you used to fire caps? Anybody, any young people who don't know what caps are, I don't know whether they still have them or not, but you used to buy this roll of little bubbles of gunpowder, I think it was, or something like that, the chemists will tell us. And when the hammer of the gun hit that particular part of that strip, it went off with a bang and a flash, and there's a smell of the explosive. And these were great, but, you know, 100 caps, well, they cost threepence. And you soon run out of caps if you had a gunfight with your mates. So this gun actually fired paper. You just needed a strip of paper, because when you pulled the trigger, it actually pulled back a piston inside the gun. It got to a point where it released it and forced some air forward and burst the paper and made a bang. So all I had to do was cut up strips of paper, put them into this gun, and it was great. I was cutting up Dad's newspaper all the time. But one rainy Saturday afternoon, I was sat in my chair. Grandstand was on the television. Dad had come in from early mornings. He'd had his lunch and he was sat snoozing in the chair. And I had a little screwdriver and I decided to take this gun apart because I loved to find out how things worked. So I did the screws, took the gun apart, and something shot over my left shoulder. I don't know what it was, but it was going at high speed. And I immediately put it together again and I thought, oh, what was that? And of course my dad's voice behind me said, what was that? And I said, nothing. Lord, forgive me. And he said, it was. What's this? Where's this come from? And he was holding a spring. And so I had to say, this came out of this gun. Oh, what did he do that for? Pass it here. Give it to me. And my father took the gun and he fixed it. And it worked. It's a little parable, if you like, of how God fixes us. It was restored to working order again. You know, I think we need to recover times of lamentation in the church. This is maybe going to be a bit controversial, but it's not all about singing, my lighthouse, I will follow you. Why anybody wants to follow a lighthouse, I do not know. They don't go anywhere, but that's the song, and I know a lot of people like singing it, but maybe that isn't quite appropriate at the moment. And Asaph in Psalm 73 is saying, I could have been like the others in the world. I could have looked after number one. I could have been selfish, keep things to myself. But I didn't. I took it to God. And in that program, the repair shop, you know, they'll often leave things with the knocks and the dents and the scratches and the scrapes that they come in with. They don't fix those, because those knocks and dents are sometimes where the memory lies. And sometimes God leaves us with some dents and knocks and scratches. And they're a memory of what God has helped us to come through. Derek Tidball, a theologian and lecturer, wrote, when belief and experience seem to conflict, don't let it drive you away from God, but to him. In our reading from Peter's first letter, chapter 5, we read these words, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. God cares for each and every one of us, no matter who we are. And he invites us to spend time with him and to tell him how we feel, how we are concerned and what we are concerned about, and then to sit quietly in his presence, in the presence of a God who restores and renews. My feet had almost stumbled, wrote Asaph. My steps had nearly slipped. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made God my refuge. Amen. I'm going to have a time now of a little bit of meditation. I'm going to ask Andrew to put some music on in a moment. I find that if I listen to music quietly and to listen to some words, sometimes they enhance the meaning of those words, and I hope it does for you. And the meditation I'm going to read is a little piece of prose by Eddie Askew that ends with a short prayer. Andrew. So we come to a time of prayer of intercession. We pray for Gareth, who's not very well. Remember him in our prayers. And Lynn would like you to remember her family. Yesterday we received the bad news that Lynn's brother, her eldest brother, had died. It was something that wasn't totally unexpected. He's been ill for quite some time, but it's something that we didn't expect to happen so soon. And he was taken from us yesterday. So we would all be glad of your prayers in the next few days for Lynn's family, for Chris's wife Lynn, also called Lynn, and son Robert and Gillian, their daughter, and their families. So let us bow our heads in prayer. We're gathered here in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, to share our thoughts with our loving Father, who cares for us and loves us to the uttermost. We thank you, God, that we are able to come into this place and worship you. It's an extraordinary service, Lord, sitting so far apart, masked up, not able to worship you the way that we would like to. But we long to be with you and with one another, worshiping you together. And although we are fewer gathering here than we are used to, we remember those who are watching and taking part at home through the marvels of technology. And we pray that their voices and ours would be as one, worshipping you this morning. Let your Holy Spirit move among us here and in people's homes, renewing and restoring, building stronger relationships between you and ourselves. And as we grow more confident in our meeting, we pray that you would make us more outward looking, reaching out to those who are not so confident at coming into public spaces because of the dangers of infection from this dreadful virus. We pray for those who are at risk, the elderly, those with underlying health conditions, and we pray your protection for them. In one sense, Lord, this pandemic has made us, as church, look at what we do and how we can be more creative in our ministry. We're having to review old ways and find new methods of reaching out to others. So we pray for our church leaders, the church leaders of all churches, Lord. We pray for new avenues that will expand even as we have begun to gather together again. And Lord, we pray for our nation. We ask for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon our nation. We've been thinking about how you love to restore and refresh those who are downhearted and broken. Oh Lord, how our land needs your refreshing Holy Spirit to wash over us. Empower and equip your church to meet the needs of your people. We pray for our community, for our schools as they prepare to welcome back children and young people into the learning environment. We pray for teachers, for classroom assistants, for ancillary staff. We pray for their safety and for the safety of the students themselves. We pray for our government, for wisdom, for leaders of all parties, for ministers and members of parliament. We pray for openness and honesty in government and a desire to do what is right for all people, that no one should get left behind. And we pray for those who grieve the loss of family and friends. We pray for those who grieve the loss of employment, a way of life, those who are isolating and maybe feeling the loneliness of that isolation. And we finally pray for ourselves, that we would make time to be with you, to sit and be quiet in your presence. Draw us into a deeper relationship with you, Lord. In our weakness, keep us strong. Equip us to do your will and to use us to glorify your holy name and the name of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So as our time together draws to a close, we're going to sing a final song. It's a song that's been around quite a while, but it's one that I felt was just good for this morning. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. And so as our worship draws to a close, if anybody can speak with me, I'm happy to pray. We'll keep the correct social distancing. But if anybody requires any prayer or needs to talk to me, by all means do. But now we just pray the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.